Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And there's such a panic on the internet right now. And we're going to address a number of issues that are mineral related, precious metals related, particularly gold and silver. And so I went back to the old reliables at Noble Gold. We've interviewed Colin Plume a ton and some of the other people. And today, we're lucky enough to have Jake Bell with us. And we're going to try to put some calm into the panic that's out there. Now, are there things out there that you need to be concerned about that, hey, something goes wrong, it could be a big problem? Yeah, but this isn't one of them. I just say this for disclaimer reasons. I've been an advertiser for Noble Gold for almost 10 years. I've been a customer exclusively for almost 9 years. So I have a bias in this, but there's a reason why I have the bias, because what they do works. So I value their opinion, and Jake has been kind enough to come on board and give us the current state of gold and silver and where he thinks this is all headed. And so, Jake, I want to welcome you to the show. Great to have you on. Make
Thanks,
sure you say
Dave.
hi to Colin for me when you see him.
Sure will.
But I'm looking forward to this because I got people panicking. I mean, I do Noble Gold ad or two every single day because I know it's the right thing for people to do. The first bank has already failed. Dodd-Frank 2010 says they can keep your money if they want. So we're not in a real good bargaining position if more failures come and the FDIC doesn't have the money. Cash is, I say, cash is trash and it could crash. This is why I look at precious metals. So what's your take on all this and all the volatility that seems to be swirling around currency, gold, silver, and so forth?
Well, I'll start with the FDIC insurance. I had a pretty good conversation with the client yesterday regarding that. And first of all, she was worried about her dollars in the bank. And I said, look, don't panic. And the theme of our show here today, apparently, is if something were to happen, do they have enough FDIC insurance to cover a single top 10 bank? No, they do not. But they will print more. And that's the point, is because they have that unlimited printing press when push comes to shove. Which is one of the reasons why you get uncorrelated assets like gold and silver, which is obviously, as you know, been around for thousands of years. It's used all over the world. That's the point, is it detaches you from any one economic system.
But if that happens, as cash dies because of overexposure and just printing too much inflation, as cash dies, gold will rise.
Of course. Of
Yeah.
course. So anything that's tangible. I like to put this in context for a lot of people. If you could raise livestock, for example, there is a lot of overlap with raising cattle compared to owning gold and silver. Now, of course, gold and silver requires zero upkeep, one of the nice elements of it. But we know that the cost of beef has gone up, and that's because the dollar has gone down. It's purchasing power. You will always lose your purchasing power by holding on to dollars. That's one of the central concepts of what we're dealing with today as Americans. On one half, on one side of this coin, you need your dollars to live your life. On the other side of that coin, if you don't use them, you're losing your wealth. And that's why you need to put it to work for you. And you need to put it to work. For a lot of people, the answer has been the stock market. And that is just overbought, overblown. I think we're all expecting a correction at the least. But precious metals, as you look at your investment options, one of the notes I made, and I'll sum it up like this, all of your investment options have a risk-reward profile associated with it. The reason you should always have precious metals is because it has the lowest risk. That's always the case. And what's unique is that we're in a bull run. And obviously, we'll probably get into what it's done over the last year. It's been very profitable for those who made the move, yourself included. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about my moves. I bought silver rounds at Hope's. I asked her, I said, Hope, what do you think? And we started talking about options and we decided on the silver rounds. And I'm seeing now on all the financial shows, that's what you wanted to do before the silver started to explode. So thank you to Hope and Noble Gold for that. I want to address one thing and get this elephant in the room out of the way. Okay, in 1933, Roosevelt instituted Executive Order 6102, and he went and seized The gold actually was a voluntary turn-in. They didn't actually show up at people's houses and arrest them, although the threat was there. And people willingly turned it in, and they got a good deal. But the elite got a better deal when they resold the gold for more. But people didn't get ripped off. They got fair market value for the time. But I don't see that happening here. Do you?
No, I agree with you. At least not under the current administration. So, things couldn't change. Obviously, in my opinion, would change under a different pretense. If Commodore Kamala, for example, was in charge, I might change my tune. But as of right now, no. And actually, I field that question a lot, Dave, and I field it more so in silver. And I understand why we're getting that question. I
I
mean,
do
there
too.
is a simple math problem around silver, which I'll share with your audience now. We essentially have a 1.2 billion ounce yearly appetite. We have been declining in silver production for the last decade. We peaked in 2016 around 900 million ounces. All the projections from the miners are less this year than they were for last year. That's a continuing trend. We are going to be right at, and we might even dip below the 800 million ounce production mark. So there's a 400 million ounce yearly gap and growing. Those numbers are running away from each other because the need for silver isn't going anywhere. And there are other sources of supply. And again, when you start seeing these numbers, people may panic and say, well, the government's going to confiscate it because we need it. And it is critical for our nation's security. However, there are more sources of silver within the earth. Now, maybe we'll get into time frames and the mining and there's basically four different sources. But what I don't think is going to happen is a confiscation scenario. What I do think is growing increasingly possible is you're not going to be allowed to buy the physical asset. And if you'll let me rant just a little bit further, the whole point of this market is the physical. Physical is king, and it's for a very basic concept, which I know you can appreciate and you understand, but maybe some of your viewers do not. This is the only asset class that is not a form of debt. And you can chew on that for some time and not get to the bone. And let me explain. There's no government behind gold and silver. There's no central bank. There's no one economy that decides the rate of gold and silver. It's its own standalone asset. When you own the physical, because there is no institution behind it, there is no debt behind it. Because there's no debt behind it, there's no counterparty risk behind it. And all of that sums up to your financial security, your financial independence, your financial sovereignty.
The one thing that you can say, the only thing that can be done really to manipulate gold is to artificially affect the supply. You can hoard it, you can flood the market with it, and you can affect price, but only in the short term. And gold, what I like about gold though is this. If you look at crypto, it's finite. Bitcoin is finite. Silver is really limited, and you got to have, what is it, only 30% of the mines that mine silver is actually dedicated to mining silver. It's a
Less than
byproduct
that,
in
but yeah, pretty
70% of the
close.
mines. So what I like about gold is gold is gold is gold, and that's what's being looked for, and we can still find more, like Greenland. Okay, and so what I'm saying here is this is why gold is so good. You're right. Besides, you can't structure it by debt and manipulate by debt. You still got a supply that's limits are not known.
Well, one of the things that gold really has going for it is it's only one of three tier one assets.
Right.
And this plays a big implication when you start looking at banks, central banks, how it affects their balance sheet, what they're able to leverage and borrow against. The other two tier one assets, US dollars and sovereign debt. And those don't have much standing anymore. And if you look at what central banks have been doing over the last 5 years, they are lessening their holding of US dollars. They are lessening their holding of sovereign debt, ours included, and they are upping their holdings of gold and silver,
Yes.
mainly gold.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. And I look at crypto and I want to make a parallel here why gold I think is better investment in crypto, although I like diversification. But with crypto, you can drive the price down. And I think that's what's happening artificially now. So some people can buy it up and make money on the rebound. In fact, I'm sure that's happening. With gold, it's just, it is what it is. By the way, what's gold closing at right now? Do you know?
I looked this morning. We had a bit of a pullback. We're still holding strong above 5,000. I think it
Oh,
was
my.
5,070. Yeah. And if you go back over the last couple of years, gold and silver have outperformed essentially every other asset class. And again, its upside is one thing. Its protection is the reason you make this move. But going
Exactly.
back to crypto, I have kind of a Heckel and Jide view on crypto. Now I hold some crypto. I like to be diversified as well. I'm able to do that because my financial backbone is precious metals. I'd probably make some people envious if I told you my cost averaging. But the point of crypto was to create a system that was decentralized. That's what we refer to it as DeFi, decentralized finance. Well, there's when who's Sam Friedman, the FXT guy? I forget the acronyms. I forget the
Oh,
crypto
Sam
that went over.
Bankman-Fried.
Thank you. Thank you. The heavy Democrat donor who was pulling from one account to finance the other. And it was someone like him who was inevitable, which forced our government's hand in putting one hand on the crypto wheel. That it was going to happen. So the whole point of, Bitcoin on its inception is if I came over and painted your fence, you'd click a couple buttons, you'd pay me in Bitcoin, and we'd be done. No central bank, no government authority, no taxes, just a people's exchange. That's the vision for it. And perhaps we could still have it, but as of right now, the government has one hand on the wheel. And there's a good and there's a bad in that. But you have already lost the decentralized financial element of it. You have lost your ability to have financial independence through a cryptocurrency. And again, you can play devil's advocate and say that's a bad thing and that's a good thing. But if you were concerned about your independence and in a financial aspect, which we all should be, we're Americans, it is our birthright to have independence. It's only precious metals that detaches you from every system. And so again, that's a very fundamental notion on how you should view that as an investment. Because there is no tie, there's no controlling body behind it. And unfortunately, that transition has already happened in crypto.
Yeah, and now the wild swings that can bring great profits could be limited because, as you say, the government has a hand on it. With gold, I look at it this way. I never really thought of it. You get it as an investment that could escalate, but right now is the right time because that's exactly what's happening and is going to continue to happen. But you're right, gold is about wealth preservation. So, what's that story? If you put 100,000 in the bank 5 years from now, it's worth 50,000. That's why you don't do that.
That's exactly right, because we live in a system that's built off of inflation. And as long as we're experiencing growth that's greater than our inflation, then it's worked out in the past. Now, something that seems to be missed by a lot of people is even though we have a new administration, the previous administration signed into law several. There were five major spending bills, two of which were more than $1 trillion. When those get signed into law, a new administration doesn't change that. And those don't simply plop themselves down on the economy and their effects are felt and then it's part of the past.
Right.
They unpack, they unfold over years, if not decades. So we are going to be living with inflation for some time. I don't expect there to be a miracle cure. And I guess this is a pretty good transition into the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. Did you want to comment on that
Yeah.
before I give you my take?
Honestly, the bad one was as bad as it could be, the former one. Jerome Powell, I mean, he's as corrupt as Gavin Newsom. Sorry for my commentary. And I just look at what they're doing for the remodel of the Fed. Unnecessary and ridiculous. The new guy, I don't know much about. Can you enlighten us?
So I've only done my research recently. It was a new name to me as well. The thing that struck me first was Trump's rhetoric on the Federal Reserve. While I've enjoyed pieces of it, it is scary. It does set a scary precedent. Kevin Warsh seems to be a very middle of the road selection. And by all accounts, his history has shown him to be a hawk. And Trump's been calling for lowering rates. And for those who don't know, hawk is higher interest rates, dove is lower interest rates. I like to think of myself as kind of a middle ground guy, but I definitely lean to the hawk side. I don't want to see our dollar weakened. I would rather see the economy spurred on and invigorated by less regulation. There's more than one way to skin the cat. You don't have to lower interest rates and weaken the dollar to fire up the economy. You could simply get out of the way of the private sector, which is obviously, even this current administration is still spending a lot of money. We haven't deregulated as much as I thought we would. That is what I would like to see. And I'd like to couple that with higher interest rates to protect our dollar, to protect especially those who are living on a fixed income. People who got into bonds or annuities over the last several years, they have been utterly screwed by the rate of inflation because their guaranteed rate of return, while it's been held in place, their purchasing power has plummeted. So I know I'm getting a little off track here. My apologies, but Kevin Warsh seems like a very even-keeled selection. Now, is he going to lower interest rates? I would assume so. Trump appointed him. They had to have had a conversation or two. Trump hasn't wavered at all in making a claim on what he thinks should happen, and he may very well be right.
Yeah, there's another issue that comes into play on this, though, too, and it's the affordability of housing issue. And interest rates will make housing more affordable to more people. But I agree with what you're implying here. If you lower them too much, people are going to get credit that don't deserve credit. That's going to cause a problem on itself with defaults on homes and loans and so forth. So
Correct.
I agree with what
And
you're saying. We do need a middle of the road guy, but are you surprised Trump didn't pick someone who would basically lower it as low as Trump wanted? I am.
I am as well. But this kind of plays into, I've been paying attention to Trump for some time, and he is very strong in his rhetoric. We know that. We know he likes to play hardball 24/7. But when he makes the move, it's surprisingly palatable. And I find this to be Kevin Warsh to be in that same tone. So we'll see what Warsh does. I know one of the things I'm concerned about is the Fed does need to have independence. Because if the Fed operates politically, which I get it, every Fed is appointed by someone, they're going to have some allegiance politically, one way or the other. We're not going to break ties with that completely. But we do not want a Fed acting on behalf of any particular administration. Whether you like them or not, eventually that's a zero-sum game.
I agree.
Eventually, we will just lower interest rates to implode the dollar just to appease the midterms or someone's re-election. And so we'll see what Kevin Warsh does. The book is out on him. Obviously, he's worked in this field for some time. His background is there. He needs to pass the Senate hearing. I don't see any issues there. I don't know how they're going to vote against him. I'm sure those who don't want to see Trump further his agenda are scared of who his alternative pick could be. So I'm happy with the name. I'm happy with the name's history. We'll see what the future plays out.
Yeah, I totally agree with the fact you really elucidated the reason the Fed was created. And believe me, I'm not a fan of the way the Fed's operated, but I'm in favor of the Fed concept in that Congress had that power removed and they gave it to this independent body. So politics didn't affect the economy as much as it would. And you're right. In fact, you know what? Amy Coney Barrett spoke out against Trump's desire to remove a Fed region chair. She said, I don't know that he can do that. And actually, I'm glad to hear her say that
Mm-hmm.
to protect the integrity of the institution. Now, all other federal positions, like who's the head of the FBI, yeah, it's his prerogative to do that. But I thought Amy Coney Barrett made a valid point this morning when I read the news release on this. So let's hope that smoother days, but there's still volatility right now, and volatility is gold's friend. Do you agree with that?
Of course, there's only one asset class that thrives under volatility. Stock market likes the status quo. Crypto, it's hard to say because crypto is still a baby, right? Bonds need low inflation to be viable, right? Because if you're going to get a guaranteed rate of return, if you're going to get 3, maybe 4% out of a bond or a treasury, and the rate of inflation is more than that, you're not even treading water, you're losing ground. And so we have all these factors in play. And again, as you look into your investment options, you're gonna paint a risk reward profile for everything. Precious metals is very attractive because we are in the midst of a full-blown bull run. We haven't had one since 2008 to 2011, not surprisingly, during the world financial crisis. And when we have a bull run, obviously the upside is what kicks in. It's not the protection, right? Gold and silver have the only pedigree, thousands of years of human history all over the globe. There's nothing else that compares. When you do your homework into fiat systems, which is what we have, our US dollars, a fiat system, they basically last 250 years. Now, here we are coming up on our 250th birthday as a nation. Now, again, to play a little devil's advocate here for you, Dave, is we are the largest economy the world's ever known. And so I do like to quell fears, although it's not that I can guarantee anything because the dollar has not been in a good position. By the way, when you hear a strong dollar, that's only in relation to other failing fiat systems. Keep that in mind. It's all about your purchasing power, it's about your true wealth. And so dollars will never do that for you. Precious metals will.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You come into money, you got to do something with it. I want to circle back for a second to silver because I want to make sure our audience gets this point. You hit it, but we kind of did a speed bump over it. And it's that you don't see silver confiscation coming. I don't think we will either. But you think that buying new silver physically could be limited or stopped.
Indeed. So,
Isn't now the time to buy silver since a real shortage could be coming in the market?
indeed. So, there are different segments of the market. So, keep that in mind. I'm not sure we'll really get into that, but the overarching one, which is going to affect everything, is what's being consumed and what's being pulled out of the ground. And that math problem does not add up. Again, right now, there's basically a 400 million ounce yearly deficit.
Yes.
And we have been in a deficit with silver for 5 years. This is most certainly going to be the sixth. Unless there's some miracle replacement, which there's not, unless the systems that need it are no longer going to be required, which they will not, this math problem doesn't get solved. And so I guess I can give your audience let's get into the master class of the mining real quick. And so bear with me on this little rant because I don't want to stoke fear and I want to paint the whole picture. But as we get into time frames, it's pretty clear on why I'm concerned about buying physical is going to be limited, if not full blown made illegal. So there is more silver in the earth. Let's get that clear. And we will mine more. And you mentioned it earlier, most of the silver, I think it's closer to 80%. You said maybe 70%, and somewhere in there. Most of the silver being sourced is a byproduct of other mines, whether we're talking about minerals, cobalt, lead, or gold.
Right.
Silver's been so price capped for the last several decades that it has been utterly unprofitable for miners to go after. So again, most of the silver that we obtain is a byproduct of other mines. As of last year, do you think the miners have changed their tune? Are they looking for new direct silver sources? You bet your bottom line they are.
Sure they are, of course.
Prospecting takes years Permitting takes years under a friendly administration, mind you. And most administrations are not friendly to mines. And then it usually takes a new mine close to a decade before it starts producing anything significant. So that is our best hope at filling that gap. But we're talking about 15 years out for new mines. Now that's one of four. The second one is old mines. There are some old mines. Takes about 5 years to get online, so we're looking at 2030 at best, and you don't know what they're going to produce. Again, there's no way it's meeting a 400 million ounce gap, and that gap's growing. The third source, recycling. This isn't going to move the needle. A lot of people are going to pick this up as a hobby. A lot of people are going to make some money on a side job doing this. It's there, it's going to help. It's not going to move the needle on closing that gap. The final source is there's actually some easier, accessible, low-grade silver ore. Now, because it's low grade, these miners have basically claimed they're not even going to start going after it until silver's $300 an ounce. It is simply not profitable. Now, the good news is I do think silver's well on its way to that mark, and we're going to blow past that. But those low grade, while it doesn't take 10, 15 years to access, we're still a ways out before they even consider it.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent with what I'm told. Let me just give you one more confiscation stat that I've been told. Even if the government confiscated all privately held silver, like what I have or you have, it wouldn't even solve 10% of the problem they face. And
Correct.
that's a lot of upheaval politically and socially to get less than 10%.
So, going back to the fact that there is more, and I think you hit it, I think that is the reason what you, there's going to be pushback. We're Americans. We don't like being told what to do. That's my stuff. You don't get my stuff. End of story. Now, again, that doesn't solve that math problem. We need silver. The systems that require it aren't going anywhere. In fact, contrary, they are expanding and they will
Yes.
continue to do so even as we continue to find new sources, hopefully. But that's what makes me believe that the restriction on owning the physical is inevitable because we have to have it and we don't have enough. And so, and that goes back to a point I made earlier in this conversation. Owning the physical is your financial sovereignty. In a couple of years, if you're buying a paper or digital version of this, guess what? You're buying another version of debt.
Yeah, exactly. An IOU to not be determined when it's collected. I totally agree. In fact, I know that some banks are having trouble making margin calls because the silver paper market was oversold.
Oh yeah. And
And
that's the consensus tinfoil hat theory with the steep pullback. Well, because
well, there's going to be some pullback. I don't know how steep it's going to be.
I'm saying the one that already happened. I mean, it
Yeah,
touched
but
120 and came down. To me, that didn't have anything. The Fed chair announcement cannot make up that gap. I think there was one final push for a lot of major players who were still under the thumb of their short positions to exit at a significantly less painful loss than what they were holding. So one of the big things that cued me in and made me even more bullish on silver was there was a report that came out in December on JP Morgan Chase. JP Morgan Chase is the largest bank in the world. Over the fall of last year, they had multiple short positions, but this was one of their larger ones, was a 200 million ounce short. They closed that out and they opened up a 750 million ounce long position, which, not surprisingly, they took in physical. It was right about that point that closed out in October. It was right about that point, and they were not the only ones to do that because obviously, anyone who's been paying attention to this market has the sense that the banking system has been operating in coordination with one another. It was right at that point that silver started taking off. We had a good year up until that point, but that's when the chains were released,
sure.
and we just skyrocketed through the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I don't see it slowing down much because, like you said, the solutions are years out,
Correct.
more than a decade. I totally agree. Well, I want to come back to this for a second. Let's assume our moms are sitting here between us, okay? And we're telling them, okay, what do you want to do? What should we do, sons? Tell us how to invest here and take advantage of these trends. What advice would you give them?
Well, trends, that's something I don't key away from, and I remind a lot of people of this is I am not a trader. I am an investor. And for a very functional and practical reason, you and I are never going to keep up with the hedge funds and their algorithms. Now, the good news is the hedge funds have quotas, not just yearly, quarterly quotas that they need to meet to make their investors happy.
Right.
And so they are going to trade there and they're able to move markets because they have enough capital to do so. And that's the game that we all suspect that I'm never going to be able to prove to you. I'm not behind the curtain, but I also wasn't born yesterday. And so our goal here is to be investors. And that gives us our one big advantage, which is time. We don't have to play a quarterly game. We don't have to keep an eye on things daily and buy in and buy out. What you should be paying attention to is zooming out, keeping that 30,000 foot view, and seeing the macro trends. We have inflation, we have our debt, we're still borrowing, we are still printing. Other countries are not holding our dollars, they're not buying our US treasuries and debt in any significant way as they have over the last 100 years or so. They are instead buying gold and silver. If central banks are buying gold and silver, that should cue you in. You should ask yourself that same question. Why are they doing it? Should I be doing it? And for me, I actually did this for my parents. Dave, we didn't talk about this, but my dad's an older generation guy. He was not too keen on precious metals. It took some convincing to get him into this. Now, I eventually did move my mother's IRA account into gold and silver. And we did that back in 2022. As a son, you might imagine that that was pretty nerve-wracking for me. That was my most nervous client. I really, you can put yourself in my shoes, I'm sure.
Sure.
Since then, it has been their number one performing asset. They are thrilled. And like so many of my other clients, they told me pretty recently after that they wish they would have bought more. And so here we are. And the same holds true because the dynamics in 2022, when I made that move for my parents, haven't changed. They've only bolstered. We have more debt. We have more of a need for the metals. We have less silver available. There's more central bank
Right.
buying. And Tether, by the way, I still don't know what to make of this because I don't really understand Tether, but Tether's number three on the crypto list in market capitalization, and they've been buying 1 to 2 tons of gold, I think, a month for the last 6 months, year, maybe longer. So pay attention to not the daily noise, not the trends, not don't get caught up in the hype. Zoom out. That's my advice. Zoom out and look what's going on the most macro level. See what the biggest players are doing. See what the big money, the smart money is doing. It's a very clear path forward, and precious metals is the answer to all of it.
No, I agree. I should have used the qualifier term short-term trends, and I was thinking quarterly, okay, because we have seen trends in changing greater debt and all the things that you mentioned. Okay, so those are things that should influence what people do. We have a dollar that's, I think, not maybe on life support, but it's getting there. So people need to plan for the rainy day. And by the way, the crypto people that bought a lot of gold, that's planning for the rainy day. I guarantee you that's exactly what's going on there. So that's pretty much, if my mom was here, this is what I would tell her as well too. But the worst place is probably under your mattress. The second worst place is in the bank. And it just because inflation's going to eat you alive. Inflation's always going to be greater than what you're being paid in interest dividends. Always. So you're losing money.
So,
And they loan your money out with get into a whole different topic. I don't want to develop this, but fractional reserve banking, the bank gets all the benefits from your dollar being there and you're losing money so they can make money.
I'll circle back to under the mattress. It's okay to have some under the mattress. don't have your life savings on a mattress. Because again,
Yes.
as the months go by and you don't use that, your purchasing power is being robbed of you. But having something at home, you can see my safe. I have guns, ammo, food, water, gold, silver, cash, all with me at home. I'm a father, I have a young family. So what I base this off of, and I share this because I have a lot of people ask me this question, you don't need to have your life savings with you at home, but you should have a little bit of something. And I
That's true.
mean that in dollars, and I certainly mean that in gold and silver. Having precious metals with you at home is a form of financial protection that you cannot duplicate in any other manner.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, I want to talk about how you get started, folks. First of all, I'm going to give you a number to call, and I want to say this to you. In my 9 years as a customer, not an advertiser, it took me a year to wake up. This is what I should be doing. But as a customer, I had to literally close my own deal on first call. I called and says, "Hey, I'm an advertiser." "Oh, hi, Dave. Yeah, I want to buy some gold and silver." I said, "I'd like to ask you some questions." They answered all the questions. And then we just kind of sat there in silence for a few seconds. And this is where you're expecting to be closed, like a car salesman. And it didn't come. And I said, "Well, okay, I'm ready to go. Oh, is there anything else?" "Yeah, I'd like to buy some gold and silver." "Well, how much would you like?" That's how the conversation went. And that's how it'll go for you too. And every time I call, and I deal with a lot of the same people, and I call, they know me after all these years. And they still have me close the deal. So you're never going to get pressured. That's the point I want to make. But ladies and gentlemen, now is the time because we're living on pins and needles and things could shift quickly. And I'm not trying to panic you, but you hear in my broadcasts every day, we have multiple crises going. This would be the worst time in my book to ever be president of the United States. So you need to prepare for that rainy day. And gold is where you got to go. Silver is a great investment right now as well, too, because of what could happen. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And if you want to move just a little slower, and I don't recommend too slow, you can go to davehodgesgold.com and request online information. They'll send it to you. And then that's where you can get the ball rolling there as well, too. Our guest has been Jake Bell from Noble Gold Investments. I think you can see this is why I've been a customer for 9 years. It's great stuff and it's good protection. Jake, thanks so much for joining us, my friend. Good to have you on.
A great pleasure, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, we got a bombshell for you here. I've spent several days, different times, reviewing Nick Shirley's testimony to Congress. Very revealing. This guy's a rock star. He's great. But he has inadvertently stepped on something that I don't think he understands exactly what he's uncovered. Yes, he's uncovered the multinational, multi-state plot to steal money from American taxpayers. Great job, Nick. I don't know if this would have really come out the way it has if it wasn't for you. However, there's a bigger game at play here. And I'm not sure Nick realizes it, or he doesn't feel this is the time or has enough supporting evidence to say what I'm going to tell you here. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We are brought to you by GLP-1 Elevate from BioTrust. This is fantastic stuff. We know GLP-1 works. We know needles can be messy, painful, and there's side effects to some of these other things. This is capsule, and it performs better, and they got the data to prove it. All you got to do is go to trimwithdave.com. That's trimwithdave.com. Don't give up on your New Year's resolution to lose weight. It's right here within reach. And when you go look at the research, you'll see, oh my gosh, they give a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's well within the time frame for me to evaluate. Also, they're going to give you 44% off. Trimwithdave.com is where you want to go. Well, we need to trim the corruption in California. Nick Shirley said to Congress, he's being interviewed by a committee, and he said, "Well, some of this money's going to California." He's correct. And I've been looking into California finances for a while now. Sources from within Israel say the amount stolen from Minneapolis is in the vicinity of $15 billion. I think it's going to go higher. The media here in America says $9 billion. That's because the missing billions are going to Israel for Somaliland relocation of Palestinians and clear the Gaza land for Israel's purpose. We've covered that. We've done a piece on that. It's at least $15 billion. How much money is going to California from Minneapolis? We don't know. But I know the amount of fraud, approximately, at least on the surface, is in California. And it makes the Somali fraud in Minneapolis look minuscule by comparison. I mean, this is absolutely fantastic information. Fantastic because we can stop it. But to do so, we're going to have to remove a sitting governor, arrest some mayors of various states, some CEOs of NGOs to do this. Now, this story starts with something that I've already covered. And I'm going to get to the punchline here in a minute. I'm going to cover the fraud, but there's an underlying baseline. But the story starts with this. California is being decimated. Legislative laws being passed are causing the independent truckers to leave 70,000. Costco's cutting availability for some products. They know what's coming. Walmart is limiting purchases, as is Costco. They both know what's coming. Part of the independent structure of the trucking industry that's failed in California. And that failure is going to affect us because 50% of all retail crosses Interstate 15 coming out of California. You're saying, oh, okay, we got that point, Dave. I'll get to the punchline in a minute. You also have the collapse of oil refineries. Our gas in Arizona has exploded in cost because our governor is complicit with Newsom in driving up our price of gas by refusing to negotiate with states like Texas to bring in oil. And we're suffering here because of the same governor that takes illegal bribes, pay for play with campaign donations, that has been widely reported in the mainstream media. That'd be Governor Katie Hobbs. She's complicit with the refinery problem, but this is going to affect us all across the country. Okay, that's number two. So the oil industry is being threatened by Newsom and the assembly in California passing these laws. Number three, there's a complete retail collapse going on. We see In-N-Out headquarters leaving. Now we know why. Controversy. McDonald's cutting back. Walmart closing. I think they've closed 43 stores, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so there's a retail collapse. Now, that's going to lead to massive unemployment, less taxes being paid, and that exacerbates the fraud that already exists as a separate entity. So now we have the fraud. I'm not going to go through every line item because it's like the opening message of Star Wars. We would be reading for a while. Let's just start with a big one. $18 billion of fraud for light rail. Not one track has been laid, not one passenger's gone 1 inch. $18 billion. That's already greater without one action than the fraud we see in Minneapolis. Now, Nick Shirley said money is going into California. He didn't specify what accounts it's going into. It's going into NGO accounts. And I think I'm going to be able to get someone in official capacity to confirm this, but the money's going somewhere. And I think this is as good an explanation as any. But it's going into NGO accounts to account for taking care of people who are criminal, illegal aliens. I didn't say undocumented, no threat other than that. I'm talking about people who commit serious crimes, like cartel members, like terrorists. This is what I've been told the money is going to. But the money is going somewhere. And we know if it was good and above board, there'd be records we could follow. Now, we also know about the homeless fraud in California. Money and food for food and shelter to help the homeless. And it ain't happening. Population's growing. So when we go through all the line items, what I've come up with, there's over $50 billion of fraud. The California government is broken. Schools are closing. They're cutting back on days. They're laying off staff. They're combining one class or three classes into one. They're cutting non-essential services. They're cutting personnel, support staff. Bus service is being cut back. I could go on and on and on with the problems. California is a hellhole, yet they got Somali money coming in. Well, ain't going to the government, ain't going to the people. And now they're trying to tax the living hell out of people, and they got capital flight from the rich. I know, I work with a vendor who's one of those guys. Says, I can't afford to live here, and moved. Guess where he went? A non-tax state. Yes, that's right, Florida. Now, here's where we get to what's really going on. When Xi Jinping visited San Francisco, they actually cleaned up the homeless, shoveled the poop off the sidewalk, got rid of the needles in the street, cleaned the homeless out. Xi Jinping saw a pretty nice look in San Francisco. As soon as he left, went back to normal. And then when they had the State of the State last month, Newsom gets up and he says, Xi Jinping, one of the best leaders ever in the history of the world. He's done this, he's done that, he's done da, 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 da. We should seek to emulate him, is basically what his message said. Emulate communism. The plan, here's the punchline. It's clear. Minnesota is about breaking the financial back of a region. California isn't just breaking the back of the eighth largest economy in the world. It's also going to have a huge spillover effect to America and send us tail spinning into, I believe, a depression. $50 billion of fraud that we know of won't do it, but the lack of essential supplies and critical services and goods because of damaged supply lines will do it. And I have covered this before. The liberal element of California tried to leave once before under a plan called Cal Exit. One word. You can look it up. They opened up an embassy in Russia, makeshift. I covered the press conference. I published the pictures several years ago. The movement fell apart. The Obama people were largely involved. Loretta Lynch, former attorney general. Eric Holder, disgraced attorney general, forced to resign over Fast and Furious. They were involved, among others. Now, there's another factor here, and I covered this with Casey Fleming, and I wish I had it queued up for the recording to play with Casey. The magic of technology, here's our guest, consultant to major federal agencies like the Pentagon, the FBI, Securities and Exchange Commission, Casey Fleming. Interviewed him. This is over on our TV show. I want you to listen to what he has to say about CalExit.
Reporting this propaganda, you're not hearing about fentanyl, the fentanyl deaths. You're not hearing about anything of really what's going on. You're seeing a parallel universe from mainstream media. That's what's going on.
Another thing I've come across since our interview, and I heard about it before, but I actually took the time to look into this, that the money in Minneapolis, the Somalia fraud money, some of it's being siphoned off and going into California. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, there are rumors, and I don't have my firm doesn't have direct information on it, but we understand that it is being funneled. Some of it, not a huge, not the lion's share, is being funneled to
Yes.
California and Chicago, and some to New York. But that's all the detail I have on that.
Well, because I want to take this a step further. Okay, before I take it a step further and Casey responds or actually confirms, the people in Minnesota, Walz, frequent visitor to China, okay? Newsom, friends with Xi Jinping, praises him in the State of the State and purposely bankrupting his state. And this is purposeful, people. It's predictable what would happen. Businesses leaving a beautiful state with great people, okay? Here's what the message is. This is the economic undermining of the United States, and it's setting up for massive insurrection leading into civil war. That's the punchline. But let's see if we can't get someone who dabbles in high places to confirm what I'm saying. I'm convinced this is true. In fact, Paul Preston is the head of the new California movement that Trump seems to favor, and they could become our 51st state. He's a friend of mine, and Paul has confirmed this, and he said, I'm talking to people that know about this firsthand, and they're coming to me and they want it exposed. But here's where I'm taking this. It was about 10, 11 years ago, we exposed a plot called Cal Exit, and it was real. I got a picture of the Cal Exit people opening up a makeshift embassy in Moscow and did a press conference. I have it, the proof of it. I got the receipts. So I know it's real. I know Eric Holder was involved at one time and some of the other Obama people. With as much trouble as I think Newsom's in, $50 billion in debt, all the dollars for fraud, like not one track laid in California, food for the homeless, not people not being fed. I mean, we're talking an astronomical amount of money, and I'm hearing DOJ's on the ground looking at this. Do you think there, and I'm hearing this is a real possibility, they're going to go the Cal Exit route and they're going to try to get the UN to help them. Do you know anything
That
about
is
this?
we've heard about it. It's definitely on the table. Now, whether it ever becomes real, in other words, a thing of the past, in other
Right. We can't say this is underway because it's not underway, but this looks like it's laying the preparations for it to be underway. And here you had Casey confirm this. We know it. That means Trump knows it. That means the FBI knows it. The Pentagon knows it. This is open insurrection preparation, not on a riotous scale with Singham's money, Soros's money funding the signs and all the training that goes into these so-called activists. I'm talking about a plan to break away very quickly. I don't have time to cover this in this segment. I'll just wrap it up and say this, and Casey confirmed this too. Kigali principles. John Kerry, Secretary of State, Barack Obama, President, last month of the presidency, December of 2016, entered into an illegal treaty without the two-thirds required consent of the Senate called the Kigali Principles. An attack upon one is an attack upon all. At that time, there were 28 member nations. Many of the UN forces were training at Camp Grayling, that's right, in Michigan, and had war games against our troops. I played the videos of this. Videos were taken and they were snuck out, and we played them. They've rehearsed for this. This is not just something, it's in the idea stage. Now, here's what's interesting. When Cal Exit was attempted and the opening of the Moscow embassy occurred, California declared, new, or Cal Exit declared they wanted to be a protectorate of the UN, separate and apart from the United States. Sound like insurrection to you? Sounds like insurrection to me. And the chief mover in this right now, from an economic and political standpoint, is Gavin Newsom. And I don't know why Trump is hesitating to bring him down. Just take him down on the fraud that you can already prove. We could go after treason down the road. But this is not hypothetical. If Casey knows this, I know this, the Trump administration knows this. And my question is this as we close. We are entering into Civil War period now. We're in the territory. It's not going to be blue versus gray, the Mason-Dixon line. I almost said the Mason-Nixon line. But it's not going to be that. It's going to be ideological. Blue versus red. That'll be the ideological, even though the left-right paradigm is BS. But it's what they do to keep us apart. Reality, it's here. Sub-reality. All you can do right now is stay out of that, train, prep, and pray. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. I wish I had a better answer. We're going to work on that part of it. We're going to pursue more on this. I'm probably going to have Casey back to talk about that specific aspect of it for a third time. I need to go back to Paul Preston. He's at ground zero. And then we didn't even mention this. The fail-safe is the Oroville Dam. And if you followed me for a length of time, you know exactly what I'm saying. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.